Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The first Sunday of the month of Tuva, the first month, is always coming after the Feast of the Nativity of our Lord. And it's always commemorating the flight that our Lord had taken with his mother and Joseph to Egypt. This account in St. Matthew has two points that we might look at today. The first point is that idea of running away. To run away, to flee. Because the order came from heaven for Joseph to flee, to run away. And the second point is that a point of persecution. That this king was so envious and so scared, intimidated by the Lord, he wants to put an end to this fear, and he doesn't have time to waste. He's going to come. And it's a very wonderful thing, actually. It's very interesting to see that the Lord of the creation is running away from a human. I mean, this is amazing to think about it. That God sends his Son. He's the Son of God. He has control over nature. He has control over everything. He's going to run away before an earthly king who thinks so much of himself. And he let him be. Someone asked me yesterday, why would God allow the killing of the little kids? I'd say, maybe because this is our freedom that he doesn't want to touch. Why would he allow anybody to do anything? If God doesn't allow, then this will be the end of it. We will be in heaven. Whatever God allows and doesn't allow, it's heaven. But because we are on earth and there's other free wills, not just the will of God, and then sometimes we in our simplicity think it's only the will of God. No. God works very hard with our free will. Very hard. Trying to persuade us. Trying to call us. Trying to bring us back to Him. It's like the will of the prodigal son's father. He didn't interfere. We as parents, sometimes, we start to use our force. We put the foot down, like the Inside Out would say. The foot down. Put the foot down and just make sure that the kids would do exactly what you want. Is that going to work? Never works. So God doesn't put the foot down. Because God's foot is very heavy. So what does God do? Let people do with certain limitations. And so he allowed this king to do what he wanted. So let us first look at the idea of fleeing, running away. I mean, there was a time in America, maybe during World War II, maybe shortly after, it was the fashion for kids to run away from home. Maybe become 15 years old, even 14 years old, run away from home and just live on their own. And they start the whole hippie movement and all kinds of things. This is not it. The running away of our Lord is power. I'm going to tell you stories about running away. There was a righteous young man. He was a teenager. His name was Joseph, living actually in Egypt as a slave, who had no power over himself. He had no control over his fate. And here comes his mistress, the one who owns him, and she wants him to have sin with her. What this young man says? He says no. And I think he had planned it already. He said, what am I going to do? I know exactly where the exit is. So she holds him from his tunic. What does he do? He leaves it. He says, if this is all what I have, I don't need it. He ran out naked almost. Slaves didn't have much clothes to cover themselves. He ran naked, but he was not ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I better run away from sin than change and become something that I don't want to be. And he, in his answer, we studied this in the retreat, his answer said, how could I? So I would wonder, what do you think of yourself? He said, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not even an Israelite. I am the child of God. How could I do this thing and sin against God? He had to run. for his life. He didn't wait, and he would say, Lord, help me, help me, help me, and then what will happen? Nothing. So sometimes a person has to run when things are overwhelming. And here in this case, the overwhelming point was sin. He didn't want to go into that place. David, when Saul, the king, got so envious of him and wanted to kill him, he ran, which is a very interesting story in the book of Samuel, to read it. He ran to the same people that he defeated. You remember the famous story, David and Goliath, the giant? Goliath was a Philistine. So to run away from Saul, he went to the Philistines, to the king. And he went there to take refuge. He didn't want to kill Saul. He could. Two times in the Bible it's actually mentioned that he was actually with him. One time in a mountain, was David was hiding with his men. He was hiding in a cave in En-Gedi. So he was hiding. It was dark inside. And then they heard the hoofbeats of horses and men steps going up the mountain. And then they froze. Everybody said, shh, don't speak. And the cave was dark. And then here comes Saul. They could see because their eyes were adjusted. They could see it was the king coming in to go to the bathroom inside the cave. So David was standing behind him as he was doing this, and he took advantage of the situation and he cut piece of him from his robe. Saul couldn't see him. And then he left. So David came out of the cave and shouted, King, King, why are you running after me? And he said, who is this? He says, this is David. I am nothing. Why you care so much about me? Saul doesn't know that David is a king also. He's anointed. So he said to him, here, send somebody take this piece of your cloth and look at it, and look at your own garment. So he looked at his own garment as a piece cut. And David said, why are you doing this? And Saul said, you could have killed me there. And he didn't. And he cried. But he went again and chased him. David was fleeing from Saul continuously. When he went to the Philistines, the king said, why are you here? He said, I'm running away from Saul. He wants to kill me. And then his servant said, beware. This is the one who killed Goliath. This is the one who defeated us. The reason we are in this trouble and we can't go back to Israel is this man. And the man said, the king said, is it true? Is it true? You're the one who killed Goliath? He started to get scared. And David acted crazy. He started to drool, scratch on the walls and the door to get out of there. Why? He knows he cannot stand against evil. David does not fight evil with evil. He's not going to go there and be aggressive and violent. He can. He has 400 men. He can help himself. No, he's running away from evil. In the Old Testament also, you go back a little bit, and there was a very good family. A man who is righteous before God and his wife, and he has two daughters. And they were living in a very bad city, extremely bad, one of the wickedest cities in the history of the Bible. And then he was visited by two strangers. And the strangers came to him and said, you got to leave. The city is going to be destroyed. And he said, why? It's nice here. He said, don't even argue, don't ask questions. You have to run right now. It's not going to be morning on the city. So he started to talk to his family. And his daughter, son-in-laws to be the fiancé of his daughters, and they started laughing at him. We have to get out of here. And then the angels had found them lingering. They started to pull them by the hands and take them out, the two strangers. On their way, the heart of the wife was not really into running away. She still had her heart back. So she turned back and froze. And they say, still to this day, a pillar of salt, when the Bible was written, in that same place. She had half-heartedly left. She didn't really flee entirely. She got her heart stuck there. Comes St. Peter in the New Testament and says, beware that when you are trying to run away from sin, that you totally and completely flee. That you don't have a piece of you interested in going back. Lest you would freeze and you would become stuck. And this is what we say, always. People who have addiction know this the best. I need to have this 100% determination. I cannot have a 1% even stuck back in that place. I have to be completely out. And I have to put my head and my eyes straight forward. So when there is sin, when there is an addiction, when there is an evil, we got to have our heart on the run. So this is important to those of us who struggle with things. Your job is not to run physically. Nobody is going to ask you to run physically. But within your heart, you have to have that conversion and not to look back. We pray this piece actually at the end of the liturgy. I'm going to pray it loudly so you can hear it. So we say to the Lord, help us to flee to the end from every evil deed of the adversary. To flee to the end. To run away to the end. Because sometimes people know they need to run away, but they run half-heartedly. We can't do that. We're struggling with a sin, struggling with an addiction. Before it comes, please make a determination, a resolution to stay on the opposite direction and go as far as you can from it. It could be friendship. It could be friendship who brings a lot of damage to my life. It could be an attachment. It could be a TV show or a game. Some kids, like I say, they tell me, I'm not addicted to electronics. I can stop at any time. Saying electronics is one of them. And I say, the challenge is here. Stop it today for a week. Now. I say, now. Not now. This is the first point, is that we have as Christians to run away, to do some running away. Jesus said, be quick to reconcile with your enemy on the road before he gets you to the judge. And then once you get to the judge, there's no going back. So be careful that you do it before you get to the judge. Now, the next point is the persecution. Here, it's an interesting thing. Jesus is exiled from his home. Exiled. Who was exiled? Who were exiled in exile? The Israelites. Twice they were exiled. Why were they exiled? Because of their righteousness? Because of their disobedience, unrighteousness. They were punished by being exiled. It's simply because of this. When they were a people without the land, they went after God. And they were in the wilderness. Yes, they didn't have that much faith, but they fasted, they did whatever they needed to do. They were, in a way, okay. But once they become with the land, they started to change. And Moses told them that. What's the difference between a nation and a people? What defines a nation? What makes a nation? Actually, what defines a nation is people with land. People with land. Then they are a nation. So when they became a nation, they started to go away and they got very comfortable. And Moses told them that you're going to plant vineyards, you build the houses, you get comfortable, and you're going to start going back from serving the Lord. And that's what they did. Once a person gets comfortable, it's not easy to know God. It's difficult. We want the ease of life, but the ease of life brings with it lack of faith and lack of service to God. Here comes persecution. So he said, I'm going to take the land out of you, of your hands, and then I will send you away to Babylon, and then another time to the nations, so you actually come back and seek me. But why is Jesus being sent away from the land? What's the point? Why is he being exiled? We don't know for how long. Why is he being exiled? So the gospel is telling us, he's starting from where we are. He's starting from where, I think he left with the Jewish communities in Egypt, who was not under the rule of Herod. He was living with them. They were living with the Jewish communities over there. And why is that? Because first, he's going to start with the exilee, the people who were outcast, the people who never returned to Israel. This is when he's going to begin his journey. And the second thing, to bless Egypt. Because there is a verse that says, blessed are my people in Egypt. He's going to bless Egypt. By the persecution that he receives, we are blessed. And that leads me to think about how we are also persecuted. You might be persecuted in a school, or in a job, or in a country, or in a region, or whatever. God has a job for you. You're going to go and bless other places. You're going to carry him to other regions. It will not be very comfortable for you and me. But this is God's purpose. That's his plan. And you will look back after your life is almost coming to an end and say, I know, Lord, now you sent me there because of this, or because of this plan that you have planned. So there is nothing that God does that is a waste. There is nothing that has no purpose. There is always a purpose. Might not be for you, and you might not see it today, but there is a purpose for it. When he said, because he said, out of Egypt I will call my son. Seems like Egypt is the parking spot for people, for God's people. So when God wants to find a place for them to stay and to be, he sends them to Egypt. So thank God that Egypt was blessed by the Israelites and then by the Lord himself, who came with his mother and Saint Joseph. It's the only country that he visited outside of Israel, and not by his own choice. So this is the plan of God for all of us. We came out of Egypt, those who came out of Egypt, because of something. Because of persecution at work or a study or something. And then we came out here. Why are we here? We need to ask this question. Why is this church, a Coptic Egyptian church, or any other ethnic churches in America, or in the West in general? That's a very important question that we have to ask ourselves. Why are you here? There must be something. There must be something that God wants from you. There must be a plan that God is actually doing in you, by you. He will bless land and will bless people. Might be one person at a time. I remember this about the Lord. When he says you are the salt of the earth. The salt. Think about the salt. The salt is together in the cupboard, on the shelf. But if the woman who's going to cook make a soup, and she takes the salt from the shelf and puts it in the soup, what is the immediate next action? You get the salt and put it in the soup, or the mulukhiya, or whatever you want to do. Alright. What do you do next? You stir it. What happens to the salt when you stir it? And it becomes all over. All over. And it doesn't have the same strength because they're clumped together. No, they're not clumped together. They're meant to be spread. This exactly happened to the church by the persecution, and it's usually after a murder, a killing. When Stephen, the archdeacon, was killed in Jerusalem, the first church who were very happy to be together, what happened to them? They started to break and go out and to teach and to preach, and then hence you have the gospel spread to the whole world. What Jesus had said to them, I'm not going to keep you here. You're going to be going out to the end of the world. You're not going to be clumped together. But it is difficult not to clump together. I'm comfortable here. And Lord, I'm here. It's my home. I know people. I know places. I don't need to worry about anything. He says, but that's not my plan. So Herod takes, the Jews take Stephen and kill him, and then Herod takes James and kill him. And after that, the church says, let's get out of here. And they go to Antioch, they go to Asia Minor, they go to Europe, they go to the end of the earth, every single one of them, because of that persecution. This is God's plan. Your plan and my plan is very personal, very self-centered, very short-sighted. It doesn't know exactly what are we doing. But God's plan is much better. St. Paul says something for us to look at. He says, he promised Abraham, by your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And St. Paul is saying, yeah, but they were not good seed. At one point, they had to be punished. How did God punish them? By taking them and spread them all over the place. Now, every nation on earth has the seed of Abraham. Actually, in your genes, I want you, if you can, do the genetic study. You will find some Jewish blood. I promise you. You will find genes from Israel in you. In Egypt, in Rome, in India, in Japan, there is Jewish blood everywhere. Why? Because God said to Abraham, by your seed, all the nations will be blessed. So when he sends his son to bring Israel back, what would he need to do? What would he need to do now, since the genes of Israel is all over the place? Oh, God is going to say, oh, what are we going to do now? They're all over the place. How are we going to save them? St. Paul says, that's simple for God. He's going to save everybody on their account. Because everybody now carries Israel in them. Then we're going to have to bring back everybody, the whole world. The whole world is coming back because of Israel. So this is God's plan. Persecution for him is means to do his work. St. Augustine says, and I want to end with this. There is a king who is strong enough to protect his country, so no enemy can come inside the country. That's a strong king, right? He's very strong, he has a good army, and he defends his country against any invasion. But yet a stronger king would do it. Would allow his enemy to come to the country and use his enemy to do his work. So he would allow him to come and say to the enemy, come, you're welcome to come and do whatever you want. I'm going to, I think Deacon John told me one time about that orchestra where God is the maestro. And he says to the devil, you want to ruin my symphony, right? Do your best job and I'll take whatever you're doing and I will include it in my symphony. It would be even be better. So this is the work of God. Persecution to God is mean to salvation by the cross, which is the greatest persecution. So somebody was asking, why the children of Bethlehem and the around country was killed? Is that fair? I said Jesus was one of them, but his execution was delayed. He's one of those lambs that were killed that was grown up in around the hills of Bethlehem. But his execution was delayed because there was an appropriate time for it. He was one of those kids. So he was sentenced to death from his birth. The sentence is on him. He's going around with it. But he knew it's not the time because they're not going to crucify a child. And he had to be crucified. That's the child that has to be crucified. How would you crucify a baby? Unheard of. And he didn't see it. Even saying that Herod was dead a few days later. Glory be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.